You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Maddie Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. It's game week, Common Fans. We've made it. The Nebraska Cornhuskers will play a game of American football this very week. And what goes better with college football than delicious Nebraska beef from Certified Piedmontese? You can now get 25% off beef purchased at cpbeef.com using the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, COMMONFAN. With burgers, dogs, ribs, steaks, and more, Certified Piedmontese has got you covered all season long. Stop by your local Mercado butcher shop in Lincoln or Omaha, or get 25% off at cpbeef.com using the promo code COMMONFAN and get Certified Piedmontese products shipped right to your front door anywhere across all 50 states. With the Huskers poised to break out in year two under Matt Rhule, Common Fans will be gnawing on CP beef from here to the Rose Bowl. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan podcast. Also, Common Fans, make sure to check out our brand new website, www.commonfan.co. We went to TS Web Services to build the site for us. Their team of experts provides top-notch solutions tailored to your needs. Whether you need web development or hosting, they've got you covered. You can trust TS Web Services to take your online presence to the next level. We had a great experience working with their team. They were very responsive and delivered high-quality work. TS Web Services can help improve, redesign, or host your website. Check out tswebservices.com to learn more. Friend of the program, Tom Chattel, is back with us today. As all Common Fans know, Tom is a longtime columnist for the Omaha World Herald, and more recently, he was named the 2023 Nebraska Sports Writer of the Year. Speaking of that prestigious honor, Tom, who has more hardware, the Nebraska Cornhuskers or Tom Chattel?
Well, lately, you know, I got to say, man, you guys, all those things you read off, man, you guys are official. You guys are big time now. I don't know.
This well, it all started with the Tom Chattel appearance last December. I mean,
you may have to change your name. You may not be so common anymore. I don't know. But no, I love being on here. It's great. You know, we do all this stuff. We do podcasts and videos and all the stuff, and it's always good to talk to fans. Just good, good Husker fans who are down in the trenches every day, reading everything, watching everything, talking to everybody. I don't see anybody drinking a beer, including me. My little iced tea thing here, but it's like being in a sports bar. It's like being in a bar while you're just talking football. So have at it, and let's go do it.
Love it. Well, on that note, Tom, we absolutely loved your piece, your kind of ode to the fans from July 31st of this year. I'm gonna quote your words back to you, if you don't mind, just as part of that piece. I loved all of it, but you're kind of talking to the fans, and you say, quote, "We've been through the highest highs, you and I, but also the lowest of lows. An unthinkable streak of losing seasons, higher prices for tickets, donations, and now NIL. All this and more, and Nebraska fans remain undefeated against apathy. You are more than mere spectators. You play a key role. For me, Husker fans are part of the team, a character in the drama that unfolds each fall." Unquote. First of all, I have goosebumps. Second of all, I love that line, undefeated against apathy. What do you think it is about Nebraska fans that just keeps us coming back and keeps us filling up that beautiful stadium on 10th and Vine?
Yeah, it's a love affair that's been passed down over the years, you know, family to family, generation to generation. You know, I used to remember back in the 80s, there were stories. You know, especially 1983, Nebraska was going undefeated, and they were the talk of college football, and people came, national media came to Lincoln to do stories. I remember one story about how people used to will their tickets after they passed away. They willed them down to their families, and that's, to me, it's kind of like, that's what this is. You pass it on, you know, to your family, down to your kids. And they pass it on to their kids. And it has nothing to do with how much there is to do in this state. There's every bit as much to do here as there is anywhere. It may not be a beach or a mountain, or you may not pro sports. But most people I know these days, if they're not hunting or fishing or on a boat, they're on their damn phone. And so people are on their phones everywhere around the country. There's New York City or whatever. They're not doing all this stuff that there is to do. They're on their phone. So, but the thing about it is, people, there's plenty to do here. People just love college football. And so, you know, when I hear, oh yeah, they're losing and there's going to be apathy and people aren't going to go, and they're going to stay home. And no, there will never ever be apathy in Nebraska. I predicted this several years ago. They'll just keep firing coaches until they get it right. But they're always going to care, and they're going to care a lot. If you aren't winning, you're out, and the ADs are out too. So it's a there'll never be apathy. People care too much. I love that about that. It's the best fan base in the country to write for. You can go year round. That sometimes drives me a little nuts because I like to have a little break. You know, there was a day when there weren't interviews when, you know, over the summer. You didn't, after the spring game, you didn't see anybody until August. There was a Skywriters tour. There was no media days in July. July was basically dry. There was nothing. It was dead. We didn't do anything. There might be a couple stories. But, and there was college football magazines that came out. You got it fired up. August showed up, and here we go. Now it feels like it's just a year-round sport now. Transfer portal made it that way. NIL. It's a different game. But I still get fired up in August. I always will.
Us too, Tom. Hey, in that same piece from July 31st, Tom, you went on to talk about fan expectations for this season. And I think we all know that optimism is sky high for year two under Matt Rhule. And we've even got Joel Klatt out there, who Joel Klatt is, you know, the last several years has been one of the few national media members that has kind of had a good, still has a positive view of Nebraska. But Joel Klatt's out there saying we're a borderline playoff team. You know, have we, even though we've haven't had the success the last 6-7 years, have we reached a point where 6-6 in a bowl game would potentially be a disappointment?
I hope not, because I haven't had it. It should be for a parched man out in the desert, it should be a nice drink of water. It should be, you know, and you hope it's not a mirage. I think it's, what I look at it is, yeah, the bowl game is really important. The bowl game means you've won enough games, you know. You of course, 6-6, we can argue whether that should be a mini bowl or not. But usually a bowl game means you're winning more than you're losing. You've done something right. You know, back in the day, Nebraska went to the wrong bowl. It means that they did something wrong. But we're way past that stage. to me, I don't care about the number. And I'm trying to think of a, you know, some kind of prediction for Sunday. I don't care about the number. What I care about is they learn how to win. To me, that's what this season is all about. Learning how to win, creating winning habits, closing games, making plays, holding on to the ball. It's that's what this is all about. And even Matt Rhule himself has said, you know, year three is when all the big stuff usually happens. You know, it's not really necessarily year two, but year two is when they learn how to win, when they take the next step. And I really believe this is a step-by-step process. I don't think it's all going to come rushing in this year. Now, the schedule. People look at the schedule and go, well, I've heard people say, oh, it should be 7-0. Well, how can they be? How can you say that when they haven't won six games in like 7 years? I haven't seen seven. I haven't seen six, much less seven. So I can't predict that. I understand what people are saying. They're judging the schedule on a Nebraska from a different era. Nebraska's lost to these teams. And in fact, teams like Indiana and Rutgers and Purdue and Illinois are saying, hey, you know, they're saying that about Nebraska. Hey, we can go to Lincoln and win. You know, that's a game we can win. So Nebraska has to flip that and change how they see themselves, and that will change how other people see them. But I think the fans they're going to do what they're going to do. They're going to pick 7, 8, 9. And I always laugh. People ask me, well, what do you think about the Huskers this year? And they want me to say something that they're going to like. You know, they want me to say 8 or 9. And when I don't, they kind of get upset.
Well, you're mean? Kidding.
It's not 8 or 9. What do you mean? What's wrong? Well, what's wrong is I have a freshman quarterback who's going to be great. I think one of the all-time greats, if he can stay here. But he's going to make mistakes. Everything isn't perfect. The defense looks really good. They got a lot of playmakers. But you got to go do it. And, you know, you can have everything, but you got to go do it. And they haven't done it in a long, long time. So I think September is a really big month. You have all those home games. They haven't had that. Yeah. Last 4 years, they started on the road against Big Ten teams. I mean, holy crap. That's nobody gets to do that. And if they do, there's usually a program that's in the top 10 that can handle it. But they've had to go on the road. Now, granted, they went to Ireland, and they probably should have won that game. But, you know, they've had to start on the road, and they haven't had a UTEP type of team start the season since 19. So I look for this to be very important factor this year is gaining early momentum at home, home games, wins, the defense getting momentum. You know, the crowd can help create the defensive momentum, the aura, the feeling around them, attitude. You know, and then you know, Rayla finds a receiver he likes, hits maybe Fedoni, maybe Banks, maybe, you know, get in a rhythm and find some touchdowns. Just build on it every week. Build, build, build. And before you know it, you know, you got something. So I just want to see him win again. I don't necessarily care how many. Just getting up to a bowl game and build on going into the next season.
And I'm glad you said that too, because we've been guilty of it, and we still are guilty of it. And you know from being on here last season that last year we were preaching, get us to 6-6. We'll be dancing in the streets. The Vandalay Industries Bowl, we're excited. We'll take whatever we can get. I have noticed that we have not mentioned that once so far this year leading up to the season. There's never been just get us to a bowl game anymore. We're guilty of it too. And it's to go back to why we keep showing up to the stadium. It's just the nature of a Husker fan. We're addicts and we feed that addiction and we're willing to talk ourselves into anything. So right, we're guilty of it just like any other fan base. You mentioned Rayola having a freshman quarterback. He's our starter. He's our guy now. He's our leader. So we got to get behind him. I think that's a big thing of reason why we think that a bowl game might be a disappointment, because a lot of people have it in their heads. We've got this 5-star recruit. We should be flying high and making it to the playoff in his first year. And so this brings up something that I think we've all been a little bit concerned with, but it reminds me of Eisenhower's letter to the troops on D-Day saying, the eyes of the world are upon you. Or if you want to go that serious, you could go off of me and my dad in a non-competitive golf league. He'll say, don't miss this putt, you jackass. are we putting too much pressure on this true freshman?
Well, if we are, I think he can handle it. But again, I remember his dad well. What a competitor, one of the all-time competitors in Nebraska football history, fiery guy. I remember 1999, Austin, Texas. We're coming out, you know, Nebraska loses a really emotional game with Texas. There's a fumble where they're getting ready to go, maybe win the game, and they lose a fumble. And, you know, the Texas crowd was really, you know, they were starting to get into the fact that, Nebraska was the big dog going into the Big 12. Texas kind of owned them. Texas, you know, so Texas fans are all over the Huskers as they walk off the field. And one guy stopped, took off his helmet, and started growling and like a lion. He started roaring at him and yelling at him, and it was like he was going to go into the stands. And that was Dominic Raiola. I'll never forget watching that. As they're going in the locker room, he stops and gets after him. And that's I think that's the kind of guy we're getting at quarterback. Maybe not. I don't think he's going to roar at anybody, but he's a competitor. And I think his dad, the people he's, I mean, if you listen to him, you know, you really can learn things from the press conferences about poise. I mean, you know, Dylan's had all the attention, but he hasn't done a lot of press conferences. I mean, not unless a high school had them every week. He's really handled it well. He's going to have more around him than, you know, some of the past quarterbacks the past 5 years have had. So that's going to help. But he doesn't have to be a superhero. He just has to be a quarterback who makes basic plays this year. What I liked about the announcement today, we're actually on our World Herald podcast, me and Sam and Evan, and you know, Sam's looking at his phone, and he sees, oh, breaking news, they've just announced Dylan Raiola. And, you know, Sam and Evan actually kind of surprised that they did it that way. It was a simple tweet on Twitter. It didn't even have the sentence didn't even it didn't have a period on the sentence. It just said this, you know, statement. And it had a picture of Raiola in his green practice jersey. And it was just a basic, it was kind of understated. You know, we thought Rule might announce on the radio show tonight, statewide radio show, or they do something, you know, on social media with videos and, you know, proclamations and all this stuff. Yeah, it was very understated. I like that because I think this season he's had enough hype. I think he needs to be understated right now. He needs to be, okay, let's pull back and let's just let him do it. And we all thought he was going to be the guy. You know, they have two. Kalen is that type of guy too. It's a great situation. But anyway, I like the way it was done today. I think you'll be able to ease into it. There's no, I mean, the Colorado game was huge, but I think he'll be able to ease into this a little bit with home games and a good defense. So, yeah, I expect him to do what he's going to do, you know, complete passes. How many times the last several years we had a guy who couldn't throw a swing pass? He threw it at their feet, or threw it over their head. And, you know, Avery Martinez could do a lot of things, but he couldn't throw the simple pass sometimes. And sometimes the difference between winning and losing and, you know, making the first down and her having to punt, it's just throwing a simple pass. Yeah, here to there. And Dylan just has to do that, and I think he will.
Yeah. Well, I got to go back to – I love that you mentioned Dominic because you were talking about his, you know, kind of his tenacity. And, you know, I remember as a 17 or 18-year-old kid, I think it would have been Dominic's, you know, first couple of years. He played a lot of special teams. And I remember him being on punt team and oftentimes being the first guy down the field covering the punt. And I think you know, I give us Husker fans a lot of credit. I think we're really, really smart football fans. But I remember even back then thinking, this guy's gonna be playing football for a long time just because of that.
Yes.
So the idea, and I think that's part of the excitement for us Husker fans, we're getting a guy with those same bloodlines and that same tenacity. So just piggybacking off of that, I'd like to know, in your opinion, Tom, what's more important to this year's Husker team? Is it that Dylan Raiola is who we think he is, or is it that the defense is what we think they are?
Well, both. I'd probably go defense. I mean, but you know, I don't. Dylan doesn't have to be a superhero. I mean, that's who they signed, right? They signed this five-star, elite, top guy in the country, who's going to come in, and you know. And I made the comparison with Tommy Frazier, just because his signing changed. They brought other recruits in. It changed the way other people looked at the program. You know, one guy can change things. Now, you know, when Tommy's first year, he didn't. I mean, he got him to the Orange Bowl. They lost to Florida State. They actually lost at Iowa State that year. It wasn't perfect, but he was really good, and he changed a lot of things. Changed what they could do on offense. He changed how they could call plays. He changed the way you know, the offensive line. He helped them. The offensive line helped him too. Everything just became a different level. That's what I would like to see from Raiola this year, is just raise it up, not to Tommy Frazier heights, but just raise it up a level. And as I've said, he has the lowest expectations of any quarterback I can remember, who came in with the hype. I mean, okay, like Turner Gill, they were trying to win national championship in the Big Eight. Steve Taylor, you know, same thing, win the Big Eight, beat Oklahoma. Frazier was brought in to win a national championship. They were already winning the Big Eight. I mean, Crouch, Frost, all of them. Taylor Martinez, Tommy Armstrong, they were you need to go to bowl games and try to win the Big Ten, win the division. You know, Dylan Raiola, man, just get us to a bowl game, would you? It's like, we don't want to win the Big. We're not thinking about winning the Big Ten or national championship, making the playoff. Just get us to a damn bowl game. You
Right.
know, that it's the lowest expectation of any quarterback that I can remember ever at Nebraska. Which I think will help. He doesn't have to do everything. But he's got such a good head on his shoulders. I don't think it would bother him. And that's a good point about expectations. Everybody expecting you, everybody's watching. I mean, this program needs to win when that happens. I think they will, but I don't think the country's watching right now. I think there's a lot of people who predicting Nebraska to be very good. And sometimes people in the national media like to sound smart. So they're saying, well, we're, you know, I'm gonna Nebraska's kind of the hot trendy team to make a breakthrough. So I'm gonna try to look good by picking them. But a lot of guys understand football too. And it's good that they, you know, like Joe Klatt, there's very few better than him. He has a great perspective on football. Now, he loved Frost. But didn't we all?
Yeah.
So he was wrong on Frost, but you know, stand in line on that deal.
No kidding.
So I think expectations are great, but I think they're right where they ought to be right now.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Urban Meyer is pretty high on us too, so I don't know if that's a kiss of death or not, to take that for what it's worth.
I think that's good. No,
Yeah.
Urban Meyer, I was looking at the Urban Meyer and Colin Cowherd were high on Nebraska. I said, well, you know, one of those two guys is smart. I feel good about one of them. But I
Awesome.
actually met Cowherd. He came to speak at a thing in Omaha years ago. He's a good guy. But yeah, if Urban Meyer, you know, but again, at 2018, Frost's first year, they go to Columbus. Martinez looks great. They push Ohio State to the fourth quarter. Urban Meyer says, I've never seen schemes like this. He's going to change the game. And the quarterback's going to change the game. Well, game didn't get changed too much. But so, but I do, when it comes to Urban Meyer, I trust in his football. Always, I believe in everything he says on that. So,
yeah.
But yeah, they got to go do it. They got to go execute. Yeah. They got to go block and tackle and hold on to the ball.
Yeah. Well, good point. I mean, as long as we're at least, let's say, average on offense, pair that with our defense, we can do some good things this season. Tom, just to pivot here, you did talk to athletic director Troy Dannon recently, and he brought up the possibility of reevaluating non-conference games for the sake of teams giving themselves the best possible chance to make the playoff. He didn't say it this way, but wasn't his message basically that Nebraska would consider removing some of the more difficult games in a future year's schedule against non-conference opponents if it helps our chances of making the playoff? If that is what he was saying, basically, is college football losing something if that happens, so to speak?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I think it'll be commonplace. But it'll be interesting to see. It may not be that way. It may not go that way. The playoff committee may reward those kind of games. It depends on how many three-loss teams are going to get in. Now, keep in mind, there's going to be seven at large. We're talking about not talking about the whole 12 teams, because there's going to be a group of five champion and a Big 12 and an ACC champion. And, you know, there's going to be five automatic champions. So there's seven spots, not 12, we're talking about. I expect those seven spots to be filled by Big Ten and SEC schools. You know, keep in mind that, you know, it's kind of rigged toward where you start in the poll. And I remember talking to somebody from the Big 12 last year, and they said, well, we think we're going to get, we should at least get two every year. I said, wait a minute. You know, look at the playoff rankings. This was in late October. I said, how many Big 12 teams are in the top 10? Well, there were two, Oklahoma and Texas. Well, those are SEC teams, not Big 12. So there's not a lot of Big 12 teams or ACC schools that get in that top 10. So we'll see how it goes. Frankly, and Matt Rhule said this, you know, our non-conference games used to be Oregon and Washington and UCLA. Now those are conference games. So conference games are like the non-conference schedule used to be. So what are you going to do? You're going to add a, you know, SEC school like Oklahoma. They're already on there. Tennessee. If you lose that game, you're already behind the eight ball going into the conference when you got to play Ohio State, Michigan, USC, Washington, and Oregon. So how many losses can you afford? That's what they're going to try to figure out. I'm not sure they can do it 1 year. They may have to have a sample size of 2 or 3 years. But if the committee says the big boys, the Big Ten and the SEC, you can have three losses and get in, maybe they'll hang on to those. But as I told Troy, I said, I mean, this goes both ways. Tennessee is closer to the playoff than you are, and they're going to be paying attention to, you know, what they have to do. And of course, SEC people will tell you the hardest schedule in the history of college football. Well, okay, whatever. A lot of those schools aren't that good, but they get the hype. But what if Tennessee says, yeah, Matt Rhule's coming, that thing is getting better, and we can't afford more than two losses. And we already play in Bama, and we're playing in Georgia and Texas. Maybe we don't want to play Nebraska. So that goes both ways. No. I do think, like everything else, the game isn't better because of a lot of these changes. But as I wrote, and I believe this, fans, including Nebraska fans, would rather be in the playoff than play a good non-conference game. They don't. The bottom line is they want to. If they play in this big non-conference game and they lose, that they keeps them out of the playoff. They're not going to want that playoff, that non-conference game very much longer. So, the priorities there will be in place.
I think we can all agree that Notre Dame schedules the toughest schedule every year. Just to
damn
throw
it,
that
Jeff.
To Tom. I just want to stop make it, Jeff. Everybody.
Tom, Jeff's our resident. He's a Nebraska fan, but he's the occasion. He grew up in a Notre Dame household, so he's conflicted, and he just spouts this nonsense sometimes. So we just have to put him back in his place.
Well, Notre Dame will be an interesting case too, because what will they? They do have all those games. But you know what's the future of like Notre Dame USC?
Right.
What if USC says, "Hey,
we don't want to do this anymore."
Yeah, we got all these games. We don't need you. We don't need to play you anymore.
Yeah.
What if Notre Dame starts to have a hard time getting games because people don't want to play them because they're trying to make the playoff?
Yeah.
That's when they'll join the Big Ten as a partner or in a a alliance or. Some kind of a agreement. Okay, we're not really in the Big Ten, but we're playing Big Ten schools. I mean, NBC can make that happen. NBC is Big Ten and Notre Dame both. So I can see that coming. And it'll be couched in a way where Notre Dame can save face. We're still an independent, but we're like an affiliate of the Big Ten. Kind of like they are of the ACC. It just makes more sense to me in the Big Ten. And by the way, they get more money out of it, too. They like their money. The Irish like green. So
they do. They do indeed.
Oh, we're pious guys. We can appreciate a good Catholic school, liking its money. Jeff, most overrated college football team of our lifetime. Okay, moving on. Speaking of the playoff, Tom, it's a brave new world in college football. We talk about this often on this program. There's a lot of uneasiness when you start talking about NIL and revenue sharing and transfer portal and fans. I mean, it's hard to keep up with all the changes, frankly, even for informed college football fans. I always come back to this. It's hard for me to imagine a day where I don't get excited waking up on a college football Saturday. And it's hard for me to imagine a day where I see those beautiful helmets running out of the tunnel and don't have the same old feeling that I had when I was 8 and 10 and 12 years old. And I think that's where a lot of fans are going to come down. So we actually had a question in here for you about your thoughts on the expanded playoff. You answered that beautifully in a recent column. I'm going to read a little bit of it, again, reading your words back to you, but man, I told you before we started recording, it feels like you're always great, Tom. We're big fans all the time, but it feels like this summer in particular, you've just taken the ball and stepped on the mound and just thrown strike after strike and thrown seven different kinds of smoke. So well done. How do I still love this game? Let me count the ways. And then you go on, you talk about loving August and the AP top 25 arriving like Christmas. And the run-up to college football season and how everyone is undefeated in August. And then you talk about, moving on from that. You talk about loving Saturday mornings and the Saturday sports section and tailgating and marching bands and the game itself, most importantly. I love how you talk about, it's more corporate. It is more like the NFL. But when it's fourth and goal or fourth and short in the fourth quarter, everybody's looking at the field and everybody's looking at those young men and who's going to make a play. Right. And that will never change. And so it was just everybody go read it, get your subscription to the World Herald if you don't have it. But I'd love you to expand on this part in particular. Quote, I'm going to love the expanded playoffs. I'm going to love those games in campus stadiums. I grew up with New Year's Day as a national holiday for football fans, the siren that we all fell in love with. The college football playoff means more football, and it will revive New Year's Day traditions and passions in us old spirits and give a new generation a reason to fall in love with the game. My God, I feel like that's like James
Let's
Earl
go.
Jones in Field of Dreams. Oh my gosh. That's
He's got a better
absolutely.
voice.
Yeah,
People will
he
come, Ray.
does. can you talk about that a little bit, Tom? Because I think, you
Yeah.
know, I hear from
It's
friends who are lamenting the NFL light feeling of college football. I just think the playoff in particular is going to be like Christmas come early for college football fans.
Yeah, and for so long, college football had that the kind of definition. We were all about January 1st. There were four games that mattered, and the national title just was in one of those four. And so, yeah, that's the day you sat around with your family and you watched game after game after game. And Fiesta first, then the cotton, then the rose at 4 o'clock, then the orange and sugar at night. And for me, you know, the Big Ten people love the big, they fell in love with the Rose Bowl, the sun setting over the mountains, and Michigan, Ohio State, and whatever, USC. For me, it was the Orange Bowl. The Orange Bowl lights, the TV shot from the blimp overhead of that over Orange Bowl, the magical lights, and it was always to me the best game of the day. It always meant more than the Rose Bowl, because OU and Nebraska were playing for a national championship, and then Miami and Florida State started getting involved, and you know you had Notre Dame playing in there. Alabama would play there. All the big games were the Orange Bowl, and that was a college football holiday. So, over the years, the BCS and the Alliance and all this stuff, they've just bit by bit taken apart that tradition, because the games were here and there. And the playoff came, and then you know Rose Bowl wanted to be part of it, and then they didn't. Now you know, and then you had, some games that mattered, and then you had some games like Outback and the Citrus are on January 1st, and that didn't make any sense to me. Then there are more games on January 1st. It just college football has had nobody in charge of the sport for too long, and so you had people yelling for playoff and old people yelling for bowls. And the way I think it's going to happen now is there's going to be a couple waves. The first wave will take place December 19th or 20th, right before Christmas. We'll get a great, great present, early present of four games on campuses. This year, one on Friday night and three on Saturday. And you can have Alabama and Ohio State. You can have people in the South going north, and it's going to be snowing. And it's just who knows what it's going to be like. But and you're probably going to have the Boise State Group of Five champion in that deal going somewhere. Maybe they could upset somebody on the road. You could have, you know, Big 12 SEC going at it on a campus. But just the fact that they're in campus stadiums, and I mean, what, not, you know, let's just project ahead. Say Nebraska gets to that playoff. Can you imagine hosting a playoff game at Memorial Stadium in December? Just madness, just crazy good, crazy
I imagine
fantasy
it every
good. I
day.
mean, it's like snowing and sleeting, and it's just you know Alabama or LSU's and Lincoln, and it's just
Yeah.
you know. So you're gonna get that. It's gonna be the greatest thing ever. It's gonna draw everybody like New Year's Day did, draw everybody back to the TV sets together. But then it comes back around after Christmas. The New Year's Day bowls, not the Peach Bowls, New Year's Day bowl, whatever. But there'll be four more games that'll be a playoff. So we'll watch all those games on a 1 or 2 days. And then we'll get the semifinals and we'll get a championship game. But so it's gonna be, instead of New Year's Day, it's gonna be a month,
Oh,
mid-December to
I'm here for it.
mid-January. College football playoff is gonna take over. You know, the NFL is going to have to scoot over because college football is going to be that, and that playoff format is going to be as big as a lot of those NFL playoff games, which, I mean, some of them are good, but some of the wild card games are, Cleveland and Jacksonville, or My Chargers losing, choking a lead to Jacksonville, or so there's NFL is important and relevant just because it's the NFL. College football is going to get in on that party. It's going to change. This playoff is going to draw everybody to the TV sets together, and a generation will fall in love with football just because of this. And we'll need it. We'll need it badly because in a couple of years, football players are going to get paid a salary. They're going to sign a contract. They're going to get, and not everybody's going to get the same money. It'll be like the NFL. Quarterback will get the most, and the running back will get the second, and the receivers, and the so on and so forth. And I hope we don't know what they're all making, but we probably will. These are all public institutions. Media will be after the numbers. They'll probably have to release them. I don't necessarily want to know what those guys are making, but that kind of thing is coming. And on top of the NIL still being involved. So money, money, money. But during these playoff games, we ain't going to be thinking about money, money. We'll be thinking about how great everything is. So I think the playoff is going to be great. And I think it's going to be 16 eventually because the Big Ten and SEC are going to say, well, we're getting a few teams in, but we're not getting enough. So we're not getting enough. Let's add four more. Yeah, I've talked to people already in college football, Troy and one, including Troy. It's going to happen soon. It won't be long before 16.
I know. I think Matt's got a final question, but I want to interject on one thing there.
Hey guys, I can go. I can go longer. You want to do an hour or do an hour?
Awesome. So do you think in that scenario, like I think about a scenario where you've got two teams playing for like the Big Ten championship. So they're both going to end up in the playoff. But if you
Right.
have a third and a fourth team from the Big Ten that also gets in the playoff, they don't have to play in the championship. They get a week off. They don't have to take an L. They don't have to risk any injuries.
Right.
I think and they weren't as good as the top two teams. And
Right.
so do we get to a point where, because now the playoff I think will be better than that first weekend in December, but I love conference championship Saturday, the first weekend in December too. Do you think that we reach a point where that just goes away?
No, it matters. Actually, it matters more now. Now you've had conference champions who didn't get in the playoff, the 14 playoff, right? So now you win one of those conference titles, you're in, and you get a bye. So the top four teams that are conference champions are going to get byes. So they don't have to play that first week, so it gets an advantage. Although I think they're missing out because they won't get to have that home game. I think the home games are the best part. That's the best advantage. You don't get the week off, but I think having that the first round game, getting it out of the way, playing at home is going to be great. So because the teams that get the first round bye, we'll play the conference title games first with Saturday in December. And they probably won't play again until New Year's Day. So it's kind of like the old bowl deal. So they'll be off while the team they're going to play has already played a game and has momentum. So who knows? But the conference championship games, yeah, I'm kind of with you. What are they? Do we really need them? But they're good. The teams are going to want that week off. The coaches certainly will want them week off because if you make the run all the way through, how many games is you have to play? Four? Four? If you're playing the first round, are you playing four? I think you're playing four games when that's
Yeah,
championship.
that sounds right.
So if you're in that tie, if you're in the bye, you only play three. So, and that adds up. I mean, you've already played 12 regular season, a 13th conference title game. You got four more after that is 17.
Woo.
They better be getting salaries, and more important than salaries, they should have health care. They should
No
have
kidding.
those kind of benefits to put the wear and tear on bodies, especially for kids who aren't going to go to the pros, so who might get hurt. So that's a whole other topic, but anyway.
I also like just to put a bow on it for as TJ would say, bowl games matter again. Bottom line, for the longest time, it feels like if you weren't in the college football playoff, if you're not a Nebraska fan, I should say that bowl games didn't really matter. And hopefully now you don't see those star athletes sitting anymore. I remember that would just drive me nuts that your team would
Yes.
make it to a bowl game and nobody that you cared about was playing in it. So I think overall, it just makes the entire season more exciting.
Well, I think the bowls will shrink. There'll be a lot of bowls that go away. Those sponsors are going to, I mean, athletes aren't going to play in them. The top guys aren't going to play in those games. And frankly, the boosters and donors are going to look at it like, I'm not going to that bowl game. It's not a playoff game. Yeah, I'm mad we didn't make the playoff, so I'm not going to that bowl game. So I think there'll be a negative impact on a lot of bowl games. But let's be honest, some of those, there's too many bowls, I think. So, and if you go 6-6, you shouldn't go to a bowl, I don't think. I mean, hell, I'm old enough, old and gray enough to remember you had to be 8-3. You weren't 8-3, you had no chance.
Yeah.
That 78 Missouri game, Missouri was 7-4. No, they were 7-3 going to Lincoln. They had to win the game. They had to beat like number one Nebraska in Lincoln to go to a bowl game. And they did, but it was a kind of a shock. But they weren't expecting to go to a bowl. So 6-6 shouldn't be a bowl. So I think fewer bowl games and then take other. The other bowls become like the NIT. And then, it becomes a vehicle for coaches who are building a program like Matt Rhule. Yeah, we went to a bowl game, didn't go to the playoff, but we're building. We went to that bowl game and it helped us get better. We got more practices, so on and so forth. So some will embrace the bowls, but a lot of people won't. And I think it'll do away with some of them.
Yeah. When there's, 40 bowl games or whatever, and we're, it seems like every year we're looking at which schools are eligible, and when we're trying to find 2 or 3 5 and 7 teams because there's not enough slots to fill, I'm always kind of in one that's like, who cares? It's all football. Like, give me all the football you've got. But and it's, as long as we can keep the Pop-Tarts Bowl, so
That's
we can
right.
see that majestic event unfold again, that'd be great. But
Listen, let's not dismiss these bowl games until Nebraska's good again.
yes,
Yeah,
let's
yeah, that's right.
exactly
Let's
right.
keep plenty of bowl
Yeah,
games for now. Plenty of
yeah,
bowl games for now.
the and the
Duke Mayo Bowl.
cheesier the sponsor, the better.
That's right.
Well, Tom, you've been absolutely generous with your time. I do want to go back. We talked about expectations and if 6-6 in a bowl game would be enough. We kind of try to twist some arms on the podcast and get a record prediction. So, would you be willing to give us a record prediction for this year's Nebraska football team?
Well, I'm holding off until my Sunday column, so I probably
That's fair.
won't. But I will say I expect to go to a bowl, and I expect them to learn how to win this year. I think they'll get that back in there. Close games, they'll figure out a way to close some of those close games, fourth quarter deals, and really turn the energy into positive and hold on to that ball. It won't be perfect. There are going to be games where they penalties and they lose a ball or two. But I've always believed, because I've seen it, that talent erases mistakes. Not always, but when you got talent, I mean, how many Oklahoma games did I watch where they fumbled and fumbled and fumbled and still won by 21?
Yeah.
Because they got the ball back and they scored. It went 80 yards and they just erased whatever they gave up. I'm not saying Nebraska's that way, but there's a lot of talent in that receiver room, a lot of talent at quarterback. Offensive line's better. they're going to put some points up as soon as they figure out how that's going to have who they're going to throw to and who and all that kind of stuff. They're going to score some points. The defense is going to help them grow. I expect them to be in the bowl game. That's what I'll say right now to you. And I mean, not that I'm holding off some big secret till Sunday. I just don't know what I'm saying yet.
11-1, understood.
Yeah, we know what we heard.
Playoff, here we come. Playoff, here we come.
There you go.
Well, I
Sounds
can't wait.
good.
I mean, I can't wait to watch something other, the offense is bound to be better. So something other than an inept offense combined with a defense that I think is just going to devour people. I mean, it's look at that senior veteran defensive line that's just going to eat people alive. And we got veterans all over the defense. These last couple of weeks before kickoff just are agonizingly long. I can't wait till we can actually
Yeah.
watch a game. So
I just hope kicking is okay. We're getting
oh, yeah.
a weird vibe from the special teams already. And it just there's some leagues where you can be okay in special teams, but the Big Ten, you can't just be okay. You've got to be buttoned down. But I think they might have a returning, this the kid from Miami,
Ja'Cory Barney.
Barney. Yeah, I think he might be a guy to watch. So, but we'll see. Bushini is certainly good enough to be the man. Just getting the and, Alvaro's been hurt, but he didn't have the good spring. So it's just a weird place right now, but everything else is in place. Absolutely.
Yeah, you got to be able to kick that field goal when you're at,
Well,
fourth and eight on the 35-yard line or whatever it is. So hopefully they can figure that out.
yeah.
Tom Chattel, ladies and gentlemen, Matt, Jeff, any final thoughts?
Nope.
Just thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom, once
I
again for
talked to you
joining
guys.
us.
I talked to Silly. All right, perfect. I
No,
wore
Tom,
no.
this has been just absolutely thoroughly enjoyable. Husker fans, if you're not subscribed, you get subscribed to Husker Extra and you can get the sports sections from the Omaha World Herald and the Journal Star. It's almost football season. If you haven't done that yet, what are you even doing? Let's make it happen. And you can read
All
all of
right, yeah.
Tom Chattel's fantastic stuff all season long. So get subscribed. Tom, it's always just a true honor and pleasure to get the chance to talk to you, and hopefully you'll come hang with the Common fans again sometime.
I'd love to. Maybe we do it like in person sometime. You guys have all these great props behind you. I want to see the props.
Well, we'll throw
I
like your
love
son.
history and merch and all the classic stuff that, you guys got all this good stuff.
Well,
Oh, there we go.
like your Sunday column, we'll throw out a little teaser that we're planning a Common Fan tailgate. We're not ready
Ooh.
to share. We're not ready to share all of the details yet. But Tom, we'd love to have you swing by the Common Fan tailgate. And
Yeah.
I know that's a work day for you. I would say beers are on us, but if that's a work day for you, then steak sandwiches are on us or
There
burgers
you
or something
go.
like that.
Let me
And yeah.
know. I'll give you some love. We'll get it hyped up.
I love it.
Nice.
Awesome. We'll
Awesome.
definitely let you know.
Boom.
All right. Tom Chattel, ladies and gentlemen, Common fans, congratulations. Our long national nightmare is over. We've survived another off season. It's time for college football again. It's time to believe in Nebraska football again. We'll see you all on Saturday. Until next time, as always, GBR for life.